Before I get started today, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles. If you're not familiar with Jeannie, let me introduce her. She used to be a burnt out high school teacher who struggled for nearly two decades with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, anxiety, depression, digestion issues, before healing herself completely and leaving her dead-end job. Simply put, she gets it, especially the frustration of doing all the right things and still not seeing the results that you deserve. If this is you, I encourage you to book a free introductory call to learn about her one-on-one coaching program. During this call, she will identify specific blocks that are getting in the way of you fully healing. Trust me, uncovering these obstacles is definitely going to be worth your time. Go to JeannieColwin.com, that's JeannieColwin.com, to book your free call. Also, check out her impressive testimonials page to see her clients' transformations firsthand. Welcome back to the show, and happy Valentine's Day to those who celebrate. Should be everybody. My wife and I don't really celebrate, but my kids certainly do. So I'm going to run down to the store after I record this and get some stuff for them for Valentine's Day. But there's a new patron that joined. Leslie, thank you for being here. The interview today is a lot longer than I anticipated, and I only have 6 minutes and 46 seconds left on this memory card, this enormous memory card that I bought about a year ago. Is finally about full. So I'm excited for this interview, though. This is a guy, he's been a supporter of the show for quite some time, and I'm excited for you to hear it. I'm going to put some contact information for him, too, in the show notes, but you'll be able to find him on Instagram at AndrewMBCyclist, and then an email address, AndrewMBCyclist@gmail.com. But I'm excited for you to check that out and listen to it and check it out. And without further ado, here is Andrew and I. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. I'm very excited for today's guest. I've actually been talking to him for quite some time now, probably about a year or so. And well, I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit later, but he's worked with friend of the show, Jeannie Colwin, which we're going to get into that a little bit later. But it's always nice when engineers talk about their feelings. So I'm happy that you're here. Andrew, an engineer from the East Coast, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Tell us where you're calling from.
Yeah, so I live just north of Atlanta in Marietta, like one of the suburbs of Atlanta.
Yeah,
and Georgia, right? So for your international listeners, Georgia.
Georgia, yeah. The state, not Georgia, the country. Just so we're clear.
we'll go one more.
Also, did you catch the Super Bowl at all?
I did. I caught the end of it. Well, I got pulled into watching the halftime show. There was a lot of Atlanta representation.
That's why I was asking. Yeah, it's like the whole thing was like a tribute to your home place.
That's right. And Alicia Keys was on, and she sang our wedding song. So that was cool. Not in person. It would have been nice if she had sung our wedding song in person at the wedding, but. So that was cool. And so, yeah, I turned it on. Well, my wife was watching it, and I watched the last like 5 minutes of regular play. And then I watched the overtime, which is cool. I'm not football's not my thing, but yeah. I love a good game of any sport.
This was the most disinterested I've been in a Super Bowl this for 20 years, at least since as long as I've been an adult was this one. So, but the halftime show I was heavily vested in. Okay. So Alicia Keys did your wedding or her one of her songs was your wedding song. Which one?
The one she sang a piece of last night. Yeah.
Which one though? Because I think she had two. They did My Boo, but then they did, what was the other one that they did? What was the other one? Probably the one that was from the wedding.
Yeah. That's don't torture me and make me come up with a title.
That's awesome. No problem. No. Maybe by the end of the show I'll look it up and I can say it. My brother, she came out to Seattle. I don't know, 4 months ago, and my brother, who says like he hasn't been to a concert in, you know, 20 or 30 years, went and saw her, and he said she was just unbelievable. So great choice. She was one of my high school crushes, was Alicia Keys. So it was good to see her. It was good to see her up on stage yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And she hasn't aged a minute, huh? I mean,
no. And it's funny. That was one of the things I said about Reba when she did the, I don't know if you caught Reba McEntire do the national anthem, but I turned to my wife and was like, she looks the same as she did the early 90s to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's dive in. Let's get into it. Talk about, give us a little bit of your story. Not the whole thing, but, I always like to start and kind of, who are you? What are you into now? You know, you're sort of, this stuff is behind you, and then we can Tarantino and go back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, just a quick bit about myself. I guess the two most important things, I'm a father of two teenage sons, 16 and 18 year olds, right? Teenagers drive you nuts, but you're super proud of them. Yeah. So that's like, that's my most important job, tied with, being husband to my wife. She's a new NICU nurse, works with the little preemies. It's been pretty inspirational to watch her. She went back to school really went to school for the first time and kind of started her third career just about, not even a year ago now. So it's been really inspiring to watch that. As you said, I'm an engineer. I'm a civil environmental engineer. I work on contaminated sites like soil and groundwater contamination, oil and gas clients. Did some pipeline engineering design work. But yeah, consulting environmental and civil engineer. That's my education.
That's awesome.
From Connecticut originally, did my first 40 years in New England. So I'm a Yankee true and true. spent 4 years living in Australia, in Adelaide, before landing here in north of Atlanta about 7 years ago.
That's awesome. Where in Australia is Adelaide? What coast is that on? Or if it's on a coast?
It's in the south coast, if you will. It's central, but on the coast to the south. Beautiful, beautiful city, about 1.5 million people. Really easy going there, really easy life. It was great, a bunch of years.
My wife and I did 3 weeks in 2012. We did like 5 days in Sydney. We did, 4 or 5 days in Uluru. My wife got really sick there after we ate kangaroo pizza and some rattlesnake and some alligator and stuff. Her body just wasn't used to, I guess. And then spent quite a bit more time in Cairns, and that was awesome because going out to, I've talked about this a lot on the show, but the Great Barrier Reef is right down there and, it's 4 hours offshore or whatever. And I think about, TMS in a lot of ways to me is like being out on a boat at the Great Barrier Reef because the ocean is so powerful and you really see it then. And there's really not a lot you can do with it. You just sort of have to be there and be present. And that's kind of it. That's the level of control that you have.
That's cool. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I guess, it's going to be very relevant to what we talk about is I'm a cyclist. Been riding bikes since my college years, 25 years. It's like my biggest hobby. It's cultural, the garage is filled with bikes. I got bike art all over the house. A lot of my social life involves, friends I've met through biking. When I lived in Australia, my two best mates there are cyclists that I met at races, ride with my wife, my sons. And so that's, it's a big hobby. As you mentioned in the beginning, soccer coach, did it for 12 years. Yeah. I'm on a hiatus right now, I guess you could say. My sons aged out and did other things, so I'm taking a little break. But once they finish up high school, I'll jump back in. And it'd be kind of fun to coach teams where I don't have any kids there and I can be a little more independent of there. So,
are they all, your kids are boys?
Yeah, two boys, 16 and 18 years old, yeah.
What's that, my kids, 9 and 6, keep insisting that they are basically teenagers. They're not. So what's that period like, that period of time like?
I think as a parent, you always tell yourself that like the next age is going to be easier than the one you're in. But then, and those, some of the challenges go away and get easier, but then new ones come up and, they need you less and less from a daily health type of thing.
Yeah.
But, you want to be able to give them advice. You want to, but you go from the person that knew everything to the person who's clueless. Right.
Right. Right.
So it's definitely, and I'm maybe some foreshadowing here, but definitely some identity change, some, your value even feels a little bit like different, as a parent. And you have to make those changes as you go. So, yeah.
I'm curious, and we'll dive deeper into the, this is just going to kind of help me prep a little bit, but, there's, when we can always look back and we can say, here's when, you know, I had symptoms back when I was 9 years old or 10 years old or whatever. But the point when my pain or my symptoms or whatever became so big that I couldn't ignore them anymore, usually people can answer a particular period of time when that was. And I'm just curious, what age, if they were alive, and I'm assuming they were, what age were your boys when that period hit for you? Whenever it was just, I can't ignore this anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the can't ignore it anymore was a few years ago. The real spike of all of it was almost exactly 2 years ago. So yeah, I mean, the teenage years, there's a lot of changes there in your, you know, your identity and what you do for your kids as a parent. So yeah, I mean, there's some relevancy there, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, now we get to the next part. I'm seeing you on video right now, and I'm not, you know, I'm not sitting there with you. I can't see whether you've got 24-inch Python muscles or anything like that, but you look very healthy to me on the out as an outsider. And oftentimes I find that is the case with people that I'm interviewing in this TMS realm.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened? What sort of symptoms or problems did you have? Maybe pick a couple, initially that were sort of your most impactful.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess most of the story will happen in the last 2 years, but going back before that, I had a few years, 2020, 2021, where I had a bunch of odd health stuff, stiffened popping joints, achy muscles, and chased a bunch of different things, mold exposure, then, you know, went the stupid naturopathic doctor route, which so many people have done, you know, where you start to be like, well, all these foods are inflammatory. And the next thing you know, you're like, well, I won't eat gluten, I won't do dairy, I won't do it. And, you know, and you think you're onto something there, right? And did all that. And I would go through periods where things were good and things were bad, but spent a lot of money on that, that's for sure. So that, you know, that went up and down. And like the stressors around 2 years ago were layered, right? I mean, it's first world problems, but they're thick, you know, parenting teens. I had a father who was dealing with alcoholism. We had a bunch of home improvements that went, you know, they mushroomed out.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of money there. I was ignoring a bunch of dental needs that I had a lot of stress around. Career-wise, I felt, even though I was in a secure job, I felt adrift and I just wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I had started interviewing for the first time in a long time. I had been with my firm for over 25 years. They had moved me to Australia, moved me to Atlanta. So maybe some guilt that I was looking outside of the company. So these things were layering. And I was a ticking time bomb and didn't know it, really, when it comes down to it. So April 2022, it was actually after coaching a soccer game. I had to piss over and over during the game.
Yeah.
Like, luckily there was woods behind me. Got home from the game and was up all night urinating. Like, over and over and over. Didn't sleep a wink. Soon as I would go, I would have to go again. Went to the walk-in medical clinic, assuming that I had some urinary tract infection or who knows, maybe a kidney stone. I didn't know. So they do the urine test. It comes back fine. Mm-hmm. It's a walk-in clinic. So they got to go quick, right? They said, well, we're going to put you on antibiotics anyways, even though you didn't have anything, no bacteria showed up, no infection, but go see your urologist. So I actually felt pretty good a day or two later after catching up on sleep. It happened again. And about 2 weeks later, I actually felt good enough to do a trip to see my dad out in Phoenix, went mountain biking out there. Happened a third time. I can't remember if the third time was before or after I saw the urologist. And she was great. I mean, I was like, I've listened to so many chronic pain stories. I was really lucky that I interacted with so many different practitioners that knew that stress was a component.
Mm-hmm.
Really am. So the urologist said, you know, this happens to men. Sometimes you get stressed, your pelvic muscles all tighten up. She did the ugly prostate check. Luckily, small hands there. and said, you know, stay off your bike because that's going to aggravate your pelvic floor muscles. And don't take any more antibiotics. That's not what you need. Work on your stress level.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I actually had a planned week off. I had worked, like, I had not taken time off in a long time. I had blocked a week off. I took the week off, took it easy, did some hiking with my son.
Okay.
Yeah.
She tells you this, though, and I'm assuming this is the first, you know, in retrospect, you can say a lot of these doctors were mentioning stress, but that's hindsight, right? We're perfect in that regard. Yeah. When she said that and you leave the office, were you like, the hell is this lady talking about? Or were you like, oh yeah, that's could definitely, there's some ring of truth to it. Like what side were you maybe closer to?
Yeah, it's a good point, Eddie. I mean, probably, you know, still very physical based. Mm-hmm. I mean, the discomfort is so physical, right? I was urinating often still at that point, having a hard time going to like meetings at work and stuff, you know, but, you know, and you start to dive into some of your own research. You can't help it, right? You get home and you Google and they have something called non-bacterial prostatitis, which is a weird phrase because it has nothing to do with your prostate. And then they put this non-bacterial in front of it. Basically, it means cramped pelvic floor muscles.
Yeah.
CPPS, it's sometimes called chronic pelvic pain syndrome. For me, it had just started, so I wasn't really thinking it was this chronic thing. Anyways, I take the week off, mellow out. I go back to work on the Monday. The first sign of stress, like a conference call with a client or whatever I had, the pain just goes right up to the point where I am bracing myself, holding myself off my desk, wincing in pain.
Yeah.
Barely can make it through like a call. And it's just like red alert in the brain. And that week, I barely make it through the week. I work a few half days. Now I just had a week off. So like, it feels like, you know, holy crap, like what's going on? So I work a few half days, a few nights I'm up all night. I mean, there was a few points where I was like shivering in pain, like bundling up in blankets. And I get to the end of that week where I barely made it through, probably work, you know, a handful of hours here and there each day. And I was like, I can't go back to work. And I had really good support of coworkers. And they're like, you know, Andrew, go do what you need to do. And now I go back to the urologist. I go see a pelvic PT. I go see a pelvic specialist. And I'm jumping into kind of all these physical remedies.
Was the urologist you went back to the same one that had linked this to stress for you, or was it a different one?
Same one. And she said, you know, sounds like it got worse. Go to the pelvic PT.
Okay.
You know, and she may have been the doc. Yeah, I can't remember. She or the pelvic doctor gave me the amitriptyline, the painkillers.
Okay.
And then I started getting, and this is where it gets ugly, right? I had took 6 weeks off from work. This is from somebody who would often go a year without taking a sick day.
Yeah.
I went on short-term disability. I was now in a routine where I was going through these stretches every morning and night, going to the pelvic PT, which was ugly, right? I mean, it's to get to the pelvic floor in a man, it means finger up your butt.
Sure.
To try to relax those muscles. Injections in my pelvic floor. You can picture where they send that needle.
Yep, I have an idea.
So that's what the next 6 weeks look like. And things got better. They weren't getting worse. I mean, but it was a dark few weeks, you know.
Did you get any instance of, I'm particularly curious about that week you had off. Were there any, and maybe it's too short of a period of time to even have anything pop up, but the most recent podcast I did was about, I don't know if you've listened to it, was about the symptom imperative. And this idea that like, hey, one thing goes away and then suddenly you get a new thing. But again, that was only a week. Did you have anything like that where anything else came, or you were just chilling and that was it?
I was uncomfortable during that week off. And I didn't get back on my bike because the urologist told me that I could aggravate it. But And I had started some of that home stretching routine, I think, that I found at that point. But no, I didn't have anything else pop up, but it's not like it went away. Yeah. You know, I was still urinating often and having some. But when it hit me and I took those weeks off, like, you know, went on the short-term disability, I mean, it was deep pelvic pain, like deep within your gut almost.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. 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 It was an awful time. So, you know, 6 weeks, go through a set of 6 injections each time I went. It was 2 injections, so like 12 injections, the meds I was on, all the stretching, the pelvic PT. Things got better. I went back to work, and things were better. The stretching was, you know, not meditative, but it was time where you had to like get through it. I got back into trail running. I started working out in my garage gym again. Things were all right. Mm-hmm. And then, so now we're in a few months after, you know, now, you know, the whole thing started in that April. We're in like October-ish, and I decided to get back on my bike. I think I did a ride at like one ride every few weeks, but I didn't go out and baby it. I went out and rode for about an hour and a half, and it was all right. It wasn't that bad. Little bit of symptoms, but at the same time, I had some new or continuing to get worse stressors. My father went into the hospital. He's in Phoenix. I'm in Atlanta, so it's not like I'm down the road.
Yeah.
And they don't really know what it is at first. I had just seen him, you know, whatever, 5 months before, and he was not great, but he wasn't terrible. I find out that a high school good friend of mine passed away. I had only spoke to him like a year before that, and he had beat initial colon cancer, but it came back and I didn't know it, and he passed away. And one of my best mates back in Adelaide, he was diagnosed with colon cancer on the same day that his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable story. They're both doing well now. And also had something in the neighborhood, you know, a neighbor passed away very mysteriously. So all these stressors started piling up and the symptoms just started coming back.
Yeah.
On the phone with my stepmom in Phoenix every day, trying to find out what's going on with my dad. Do I fly out there? I'm in so much pain. It's just getting worse. So I wait till he gets released from the hospital. And now I'm at the point where like, I can't travel. My wife, she's an angel. She flies out there and takes care of my dad when he gets home from the hospital, but he passes away in like 3 days home from the hospital, where they had said that he had weeks ahead. And, you know, and that was the beginning of December. And now I'm just a mess, you know. Yeah. I had struggled through and kept working up until that point, but it was enough into December. You know, I just told coworkers, I'm like, I'll see you in January. You know, my wife was graduating from nursing school. So, you know, I was trying to rally to be part of that. And the thing is, Eddie, is now I had the sit bone pain where I didn't have the sit bone pain before that. I had the deep pelvic, but I was okay sitting. Now my sit bone is like a hair trigger.
Yeah.
I'm having to sit on heating pads to get by, to do anything. And so now I'm worried about, you know, this pudendal neuralgia, this, you know, phrase that I would run into quite often. And it's nicknamed cyclist syndrome. And so, you know, now there's new stress, right? Now it's like, this is worse than it was before. It came back so easily. Did it come back because I rode my bike a few times? Did it come back from stress? Got back on some meds, went to the PT again, got a few more injections. But yeah, it was pretty ugly.
How do you get to a point of all this stuff is happening and you're kind of getting this cascade of symptoms? Are they getting worse? How do you get to a point of this is mind-body related and it's now in my control? Because it sounds like at this point in time, the world, not just the symptoms, but the world probably starts to seem like it is out of your hands and out of your control. So there's some parallels, and talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. And like I said, I was very fortunate that everybody, all these practitioners that I interacted with really, even though they were giving me physical remedies, they were not pushing me to go deeper. You know, I asked my pelvic MD, like, should I get an MRI on this nerve? And she's like, no. And very much, you know, the stress thing is coming up. And, you know, yeah, the biking may have irritated it. Like, that was one thought. But, like, I did those rides, like, an hour and a half, 2 hours each. Got off the bike, went out for tacos. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like this immediate reaction. So, you know, it started to kind of like go in my head, like, if my brain got me into this, my brain can get me out. That's kind of the, like, the simplest. And I think at that point I started to run into some mind body stuff.
Yeah. Some mind body, like, being a remedy. Is that what I mean? Okay.
Yeah.
How do you get there?
Well, a few different things happened around the same time. Probably the biggest one is I was, you know, following a lot of pelvic PTs. And you know, some of the videos on Instagram or whatever would show stretching or whatever, or would show dry needling. But there was one, and she worked she was a pelvic OT. And I don't pretend to know the difference between PT and OT, but that's okay. And she worked remotely with patients, and she had this one post where it was like, I'm telling you that if you stretch every day and that's the only way that you can keep your pain away, then you're not at the root of it.
Oh, wow.
You know, and like, you know, like head exploding emoji.
Yeah.
You could their bomb. And I messaged her, and she did like a, you know, a call with me that was just awesome. And so I decided to work with her. And her name is Lindsay. Her practice is wellbeing_Lindsay. And she is phenomenal. At the time, she was transitioning out of being a more hands-on pelvic OT, and she was actually seeing more success with her clients that she was seeing remote.
Yeah.
Because people weren't going to her with, like, fix me. And she was using mind-body tools, and she just opened up my mind to, and she put, you know, a real person, a real voice to these things that I was running into in my research. And I bought mind-body prescription from Sarno and read it. But she was really getting me to understand the tools and got me to understand somatic tracking and taught me all about the nervous system and fight or flight and parasympathetic and sympathetic.
How long ago was this period of time?
This was January 2023, so a year ago.
And when you're talking to her about this, did you link back that conversation with that other with the other doctor, the urologist who had related this to stress? Like, did that enter your mind as you're talking to her about these things?
Yeah. Like, you know, there's been enough, you know, the breadcrumbs. I'm following the breadcrumbs, right? And but she's really talking about the tools that you need, you know, the methodology, the somatic, and, you know, different things work for different people, but the somatic tracking and the nervous system and all of that. So, yeah, I start working with her, and in the beginning, I'm in pain. So, you know, like, she's working with reducing my reaction to pain.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even, you know, I needed that. And at the time, I probably needed somebody who identified with the pelvic piece, because I wasn't ready for somebody who could talk just generally about any symptom.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I was really fortunate to run into her. I mean, I could talk a lot about what she did, but she was just, she was the first one really to help me understand the connection between the emotions and stress. You know, would help me through some flare-ups. I'll share one story with you that really helped out. with my father passing away, we were planning a service. And my sister and my stepmom were at odds with each other, and it got ugly. And I'm getting both of their messages and talking to them, and I'm at work, right? And so I'm trying to concentrate and getting some additional pain. And I'm messaging Lindsay, and I'm saying, like, you know, and she's like, And I said, oh, I'm going to take a walk outside. And she's like, go outside and have a fake conversation with them and get your body into it.
So like journal speak, but walking or verbal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're like, leave your phone in the office.
Yeah.
And get out. And so I'm doing a lap around the office parking lot, my hands flailing, finger pointing.
I wish there was a car driving by at this time.
some F-bombs coming out of my mouth. I probably look like, you know, a bad Eminem ripoff, you know, walking around the parking lot. And, you know, and that's it, right? I mean, it helped a ton.
Yeah.
And it's what we don't do, right? Because we, you know, we have to be also polite. Plus, we distract ourselves, you know, something pisses us off. And instead of actually processing it, you know, we get on our phones or we distract ourselves and it just piles up. So Lindsay was super helpful. I worked with her for a few months. Her practice now is she focuses more on stressed out women, stressed out moms, especially uses mind body tools, but is trying to, you know, work with people and beat the symptoms, really try to get to things before they start.
I wonder if, can I name drop you if I DM her? Just say, hey, I interviewed this guy. He mentioned you. And
yeah. I mean, she and I spoke on Monday because I told her, I said, oh, I'm going to do this interview with Eddie and I want to talk about you because you were so helpful, but I want to make sure that you're good with that. And, you know, we had some happy tears because we both, you know, she meant a ton to me. She really got me through some tough stuff.
That's awesome. One thing I'm always curious about for people that kind of go through this odyssey is the shift in perspective for you just in all things life. Like we're talking about not just being a dad, but you know, there is certainly something like your wife went through a career change, exciting, great things, all that kind of stuff, but there's something there. And meaning that for us as just people, any change in life sort of, you know, gets thrown in our deposit bag over and over. Everything. You go to the mailbox, the dude that lives next to you doesn't say something to you after you say hi to him. The person that cuts you off on the freeway, like you sort of have kind of this checks and like this deposits and withdrawals thing going on.
Yeah.
All people do. Can you talk about your shift in just perspective of kind of how you see life that's different now than it would have been 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, I'm much mellower. I'm much less on edge. I've lowered the stakes. I love
Perfect.
That phrase.
Yep.
And it, you know, I'm not, certainly not perfect with it. I have times where it comes back. But it just mellowed out, you know? More easygoing.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some, you know, practices I try to do, you know, I got into meditating. I don't do it as much as I did, but I think I take what I learned from meditating off into little pieces of it more. So,
what's maybe a day, like, can you give an example of a, not necessarily a daily practice, but what are maybe one or two things that you do with most frequently?
Probably, you know, brief meditating, just really just letting the mind empty and just kind of just let's see what enters. Don't judge it. Don't get all too spun up and let it come in and out.
Yeah.
That's one thing. And then breathing. Just I breathe differently now, like when I need to, just real, real slow, real deliberate, kind of using that in a meditative state. And it's not like it's not some big, you know, woo-woo thing,
sure.
Right? It's just what we all should, you know, what I probably should have been doing for a long time.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad that you said that about, you know, there's nothing super special going on. It's like, it's simple. And that's something that I like reiterating on the show is that like I talk about it in sales a lot, but KISS, keep it simple, stupid, like, oftentimes where we really sort of get in this kind of like web of physical symptoms is one to me, the more, are you a Seinfeld guy at all?
I love it.
Okay. So there's this continuous theme that George Costanza has where he really gets into it in this one episode where he's trying to help Jerry pass a lie detector test. And if, he has this line with Elaine where he talks about the more complicated a story or a situation, the more BS it is, basically. So it's very complicated, is kind of what he says. And I think about that a lot with the TMS stuff. Like, for the longest time, various muscles or things that would hurt on me when I'd go and see a practitioner or a doctor, and they kind of explain this sequence of events, and the reason this part of the shoulder hurts is because of this other thing, and then this thing in your foot, and then we need to talk about, like, all these unlinked things. And the more complicated it was years later, I'm looking back, the more complicated it was, really, the, like, the less truthful is not the right word, but the more BS I think it is. And like you're saying, simplifying, because now we're talking about, you know, all, like, going to see the various doctors, doing all this stuff, like, your life was very complicated on the pain and symptom side for a long time. And now we're talking about being to a point which, like, pat yourself on the back, we're talking about a year and change later, where you can say, these couple of things that I do keep me in alignment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
It's a good segue as we kind of wrap up here. The breath, you've worked with Jeannie. Talk about that, if you don't mind, for a couple of minutes, because she's been such an intricate part of the show for a couple of years now. Just give me some take on
that. Yeah, so I'll just kind of speed up the end of the story. I worked with Lindsay, and then I had a few months where I kind of plateaued. I didn't have life-interrupting pain, but I still lived. I had kind of three things still going on. I still lived in fear of the pain coming back. I was not back on my bicycles yet, and I had to face this career decision that had kind of built up through the interviewing process. So I started working with Jeannie, and she was great. I mean, every conversation with Jeannie, I would think that we would talk about something at this level, and I'd already be stretching and be like, oh, Jeannie's going to want to talk about emotions. And then we get on and she would like, well, let's talk about purpose. And I'd be like, shit, you know, like,
yeah.
So, but she really helped me with the fear of the pain. That was kind of the first thing, is she's like, you know, you can do this, you know, it's not gonna, you know, you have tools, you may have symptoms, you know, you can mellow out. So she worked with that. And then she worked on a lot of just, you know, talking about purpose and meaning and finding, you know, kind of what drives you, and may not be able to make a big life change, but can you weave those things in into your daily? And can you appreciate when it happens? Like, you know, you might touch on your purpose, but because it's not like filling your day, well, you know, I might have a mentoring call with one of my junior staff, and that might be something I can be like, hey, I need to focus on how good that was.
Sure.
And not just jump to the next thing. And yeah, so she helped me make the decision to leave my old firm and take a new role with a different company, which was big change, big jump. She helped me get back on my bicycle. I've been riding a ton.
That's awesome.
Rode Saturday for over 3 hours with a good friend, Rocky, Rudy Trail, stuff that if I had believed what, you know, I read about pudendal neuralgia and pelvic pain, I would never be on a bicycle again.
That's awesome.
And so I'm back riding.
How are there any, and the answer could totally be no, are there any lessons or things that you've thought about as it pertains to, because one thing that I think is difficult about this kind of, we're two dudes sitting, I'm 37. You said you're close to 50, or you are 50.
I'm 50. Yeah.
So I'm going to be 38 next month. Dudes don't always talk about this stuff, right? The whole notion of things going on in our lives or emotions that are causing physical symptoms, like that's still very taboo, as much as like mental health and the talk of it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times it's sort of like a fluff thing that a lot of people will say, but like, what does it really mean? And like, we are two guys literally talking about mental health. You've got two teenage boys. Are there any lessons or things that you've learned over the last year and a half or so that are going to be good lessons, not necessarily now, but things that as they continue to grow and be adults, adult men, that they can sort of add to their toolkit, or you're giving them access to a gym, is what Michael Galinsky said once. I can't tell my kids how to not have pain or symptoms through their lives, but I can give them a key to a gym. Do you mind just commenting if you've got anything anecdotally about that?
Yeah, I thought, I kind of figured something like this might come up, and I started to kind of think about it, and also didn't want to kind of repeat what so many of others have said, but I would say, like, being calm. My wife has this thing in our kitchen that says calm is a superpower. And And yeah, you could say it's peace, you could say lower stress, but all that. But like, don't panic. Take the situation you're in, think about it, let yourself feel the emotions. Don't distract yourself, avoid it,
Yeah.
you know? And I mean, we live in a world of constant distractions now. It's so easy to just multitask your day away and constantly be doing, thinking about something that else. So that's really, you know, stay calm, stay, get centered.
You sort of alluded to this earlier, and I didn't want to take away your thunder. And then you didn't say specifically what I thought here, so I'm not taking your thunder. But you had mentioned something about being able to distract ourselves with like phones. Here's a good exercise for you. This might even be an additive to some of the quick short form meditation you talked about. I've talked about this on the show before. When I go to a grocery store and there's a line, just look around how many people they get to a line. Let's say there's two people in front of them or more. The first thing they do, they pull the phone out, right? And they start scrolling. If you can just sit there and just whatever it is that's going on until you can go in and check out your stuff, that is a great short form meditation exercise because you're not distracting yourself from the moment. You are being there in the moment. That to me, God, it's one of like the best TMS observations that I have since I learned about all this, were just these little moments in life like that that we don't even think about that we just distract ourselves with. I was thinking about that when you were talking about the phone distraction.
Heck, people do it at a stoplight, right? I
Yeah.
mean, it's
Or when they're driving, right?
crazy.
Well, Andrew, this has been a lot of fun. I kept you a few minutes later than I expected, but is there anything else that maybe I didn't ask or we didn't talk about that is worth it for the last, minute or so that we should definitely touch on or mention?
Well, two things. First off, the Alicia Keys song is "If I Ain't Got You,"
Oh,
and
perfect. Okay, good.
I'd be killing myself if I didn't remember
That
that.
was when she did the
And
piano, right? The piano solo.
that's
Okay,
right.
cool.
Yeah, beautiful song. It was our wedding song, right? So, the other thing, I got a surprise for you.
Oh, what's that?
So I told you I'm from Connecticut originally.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a good friend of mine from up there is one of the photographers for the wrestling company.
Oh, for WWE.
Yeah. And
That's awesome.
so when if you're there at a meet, he's one of the guys in all black running around taking
Yeah.
photos. And so he sent me this, and I'm gonna mail it to you.
Oh man, that is awesome. Thank
Yeah.
you.
So for
That's a
your
WWE branded North Face jacket. I love that. Thank you.
So yeah, so this is on behalf of all your listeners,
That's
on behalf
awesome.
from me. So
That's awesome. I appreciate
thanks
that.
for everything. You know, and I one thing I didn't say is when I did discover your podcast, I had a work road trip to Savannah, so I listened to like 5 hours of your material in each direction. So it was pretty, you know.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I don't recommend that. I wouldn't do that. No, I'm kidding. But you've been super helpful. I mean, it's great to listen to somebody I can relate to. You know, we do have enough in common. The fact that you really, you know, you're not a practitioner, right? You're doing this because.
I sell software. That's
Right.
my day job, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So appreciate all that. And thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here.
Yeah. And thanks to Jeannie. Thanks to Lindsay. And, you know, thanks to, yeah, it's all good.
Awesome. Well, I'm gonna fake end the interview. So hang on for a minute after I do this little wrap. But this has been Andrew from Marietta, Georgia. Thanks for being here.